So it's with a great honor and with a great pleasure and a great blessing to present to you retired Command Sergeant Major Victor Fleek.
It's always good to be back up here. I look forward to Memorial Day. And Brother Holt, he hadn't reached out to me yet, and I was visiting my parents, and they said, "Man, you're going to be speaking in our church on Memorial Day." I said, "I'm not sure, Brother Holt. I hadn't called me." He was like, "It's right here. It's in the bulletin." It was a couple days later he called me. He was like, "Hey, it's in the bulletin. Are you going to make it?" And I was like, "That was great. Look forward to the opportunity. Memorial Day. Remembering our, somebody had posted, you know, Armed Forces Day, that's for those that are, of course, serving. Veterans Day, those are for the ones that served. And then Memorial Day is, those are our ones that paid the ultimate sacrifice and didn't make it back home. As I was thinking about that, I was telling the gentleman in the back, and reminiscing is just as you leave the military, how quickly you lose track of military things. You know, and sitting there, and as a Sergeant Major, and got an email, you know, Army embraces technology. I would get those casualty reports. You know, you get that email, "Hey, we lost a soldier." I was thinking about that, and I was like, how many soldiers have we lost this year? Anybody know? I didn't know till last night. 16 soldiers this year. And I thought it'd be befitting on Memorial Day, we'll recognize and we'll remember these 16 fallen soldiers thus far in 2019. Specialist Miguel Holmes, PFC Michael A. Thomason, Specialist Michael T. Osorio, Specialist Ryan Riley, Staff Sergeant Albert J. Miller, Corporal Robert Hendricks, Sergeant Benjamin Hines, Staff Sergeant Christopher Sletman, Specialist Johnson P. Collette, Sergeant First Class William D. Lindsay, Sergeant Holly Bliski, Specialist Jackson Johnson, Sergeant First Class Joshua Zach Beal, Sergeant Cameron Medock, Chief Warrant Officer Jonathan Farmer. I actually served with him in Afghanistan in the beginning. Navy Chief Technician Shannon Kent. 16 that we've lost this year. That's 16 Gold Star families that tomorrow, as we celebrate Memorial Day, it's going to be a little bit different from them. They're going to be missing their loved one. Then I think of, I had Sergeant Altamirano, lost him in Iraq. And Sergeant Lacey, lost him in Afghanistan. I was telling the gentleman that you forget terminology. Now, we have a memorial service, you know, here, and we have funerals. But in a combat theater, when somebody passes, they have what we call a ramp ceremony. That's when the body is put onto the aircraft, and then the aircraft flies away. And in the case of Sergeant Altamirano in Iraq, we were right there outside Tikrit, and it was a small airfield. He was going out on a Black Hawk helicopter, and as we started driving, and I was the operations sergeant major to make sure the route was clear, and we were going down there. Everybody knows that we're having a ramp ceremony. Cooks, mechanics, civilians that work there, everybody on that little base come out and mind the roads all the way to the airfield. And then as we put that young man's body on a Black Hawk helicopter, and as it flew off, it was right at sunset, and I'll never forget, as it curved and went out of way, the sun was just setting. It was like befitting, it was setting on that young man's life in that ceremony. Could have heard a pin drop. With Sergeant Lacey, that was in Bagram Airfield in Afghanistan, in a lone C-17 parked out there on the tarmac. A brigade's worth of soldiers out there. the general, everybody, once again, lined the street. I remember looking over that aircraft, and you could look up in there, and you could see his flag-draped coffin, the only one on that whole huge transport aircraft. And then looking over that, and you could see the mountains. Afghanistan is beautiful. And the snow-capped mountains, beautiful. The wind blowing, honoring that fallen soldier. Could have heard a pin drop. Remember those folks. Remember those memories. And then my uncle, you know, that I've grown up with him ever since I was a kid. And how did I remember them? Because people have not forgotten. My family constantly gets phone calls from people. I have a man that I haven't been able to get in contact with. He called my mother. And how long has it been? 45 years? And he finally reached out to the family and was like, I was 5 feet away from him when he passed and he saved my life. And I just wanted to say thank you. That man's been dealing with that his entire life. Remember, you know, they named a road after him here just not too long ago last year. There's a little class over in Kentucky. The school teacher, I think they know the history of the Fleek family. She's asked me for photographs and pictures of the ceremony and everything. Not forgotten. That's the way we need to be. If you would, turn in your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We'll be reading in verses 1 through 8. Philippians 1 through 8. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. This next verse is what I've claimed is my life verse. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this day that we've come together. It is a memorial that we, this Memorial Day weekend, to remember those fallen soldiers who have given us our freedom, that we live in a country where we can freely worship you. We want to call that to remembrance, but even greater, dear Lord, is your love and what the sacrifice that you have given us and what we have through you in a relationship with you. We thank you for this. In your precious name we pray. Amen. You know, everybody, especially when I come here, is usually the guy in the back. He's like, what's the name of the message? You know, I don't normally name my messages, but I guess if you was going to name this message, it would be called Relationships. Relationships. What kind of relationships do you have? And right here in verse 2, it says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. You need to love. We need to have compassion. You know, at Amazon, you know, we have a lot of employees and they work, and I like that. And you're dealing with people constantly, you know, and people are working and you're trying to get the best work performance out of people and help people advance, you know. Not everybody's doing something there, you know, something, you know, maybe it's somebody that's working for you that eventually is working them way through college to go on to another career. Maybe it's somebody they're on their second career. Everybody has their thing that they're doing, and you come in contact with people every day. And one of the things that they wanted us to do is, you know, put yourself in that shoes. Because, you know, in leadership, sometimes you can overlook the underlying things that people are going through. So they showed us a video. And at Amazon, you have your badge. And when you show up to work in the morning and you go through, you click your badge and you go through one of those turnstiles. And it showed, like, six, seven people walking through the turnstile, coming to the work in the morning. And you're like, okay, people are coming to work. And then they backed it up, and it showed the same people coming through. And when the first person come through, there was a caption of what that person was dealing with. It says, just got the call from the doctor. Their cancer has returned. Yeah. Showed the next person come through. Young lady. Car repairs. Don't know where they're going to get the money to pay for their car. The next person, lady comes through. Husband just filed for divorce. Another person comes through. Just lost a close friend. You know, as I sat here this morning listening to prayer requests, those are the thoughts, same thoughts that are on your mind. Man, it crushes me as a Christian. How cold and hard and callous I can get. My love for humanity. Losing my compassion. You know, I was telling just yesterday, I told my wife, I said, man, I wish I'd have shaved my head bald for the last 10 years I was in the Army. I'd have really been scary. You know, Sergeant Major and a bald head. It would have been awesome. Put people away. Where's my compassion? You know, I've seen the worst, 3 deployments. I've seen the worst in humanity. Yeah, see how people treat me. It changed me. My family had told me, if I fought it for like years, my family said, no, that doesn't change you. It changes you, trust me. Everybody has their demons. And I think my thing that I lost a little bit of my compassion. I became that, well, I don't want to say mother hen. How about we just say the big sheep dog, you know, is I have my family. I pull them in close and I protect them. And you don't harm them. And if you harm mine and mine, you got a problem because I'm going to come after you. What is Christ like about that? Our pastor preached a message. Man, last Sunday, just like, you ever just leave church just feeling bruised and beaten? I was feeling bruised and beaten. He was like, you know, everybody wants to be alone. They're withdrawn to themselves. On the way to church, I told my wife, hey, we bought that new property. Wouldn't it be great if I could find those T-walls like they had in Iraq? You know, they're like 20 feet tall concrete pillars. I could put them up around the whole place and just protect myself and have my whole family all secure inside there. Christ didn't want that. Christ doesn't want that from me. He doesn't want that from you. He wants, when I see them people, to have compassion and look on them and try to meet their need. A lot of people, I'm sure, in this room knew Pam Stevenson. She worked out at the camp. I've known Pam my whole life. I terrorized her as a kid. My mom picked her as a teenager to babysit me. Poor lady. You know? And when I was little, Pam was old. You know, she was really old. A whole 5 years older than me. Then I got married to Kathy, and Kathy was a great friend. Pam had moved down to Madison. She had a great friendship with Pam, and she was like, you know, we were married, and she was talking about Pam, and I said, yeah, I know Pam. She goes, no, you don't know Pam. I said, girl, I've known Pam before. I knew Pam was, she's one of my memories from childhood, Pam. And we just laughed. She couldn't believe that me and Pam were that close, and all through the time I was in the military, Pam and Kathy would keep that relationship. And Pam was one of those people, you don't have many of those when you're in the military. It don't matter where you are, if you're in Germany or Dayton, Ohio, or Texas, or Panama, or Alaska, Pam's coming to visit. Pam's being there when I can't be there, when my wife's having surgery, flying halfway around the country, halfway around the world, being there to support my family. She had compassion on people. And 2 weeks ago on a Friday night, she came home from work. I can't catch my breath. Her husband says, hey, Pam, do I need to call the doctor or anything? She goes, no, I'll be all right. I'm just going to splash some water on my face. She plastered some water on her face and went over and sat down on the couch. She says, "Whew, I still just can't catch my breath." Ron says, "Hey, should I call the doctor? Do you need me to call the doctor?" And no answer. Her chin was on her chest, and she just passed away. A blood clot to the heart. I don't know what, but she went like that. Instant, out in eternity. It broke my wife's heart, broke my heart. But then we had her funeral and her memorial service. One of the things that, growing up, my mom and dad have always told me about my uncle's funeral in Kentucky, where he is in the, you know, Kentucky's hilly, in the graveyard where my uncle was laid to rest. It's like a mile and a half down, then it curves, and it goes up one of them old Kentucky hills. And they said when they parked their car at that cemetery, that cars were still coming over the hill 3 miles away. And my mom said at Pam's funeral, she hasn't seen that many people at a service since that time. There were van loads of kids that were coming from Christian schools. Why? Because it's like, you know, God said he humbled himself in the form of a servant. Pam was a servant. She had compassion. I don't understand why Pam is gone. I have a mother-in-law who has dementia, and it's gotten so bad we had to put her in a nursing home. We will have a party and a praise fest when she goes on to the heaven, because we know she'll be in a better place. We don't understand why Pam's not there. But it has made me reflect, and it's made me want to have my compassion for my fellow man. My first thought, what need can I meet in people? And I want to honor my God, and I want to honor Pam by letting nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, esteem each a better than myself, and show the love of God to other people. We need to be compassionate. The next thing we need to do is we need to be committed. We need to be committed to our cause. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Committed. Christ was committed. Recently in Amazon, I was on night shift for 3 years. It didn't really seem to bother me. I thought, oh, that's fine. I like this. It's all right. They moved me to day shift. I will never go back to night shift. I forgot the joy of just coming home to the family, sitting down with the family and having supper, being able to go outside and, when my feet aren't too tired, shooting hoops with McCoy, or doing something for Cassidy, or going for a drive with my wife. It's been wonderful. When I was on night shift, I had this young man working with me, and he's just an awesome young man. Really grew like a... I'm quite a bit older than all of them. And Steve is just an awesome kid. And Steve came from a broken home. They didn't have a father. And I've kind of like tried to show him things. You know, how to change a spark plug or a tire on a car. That would surprise me, that how many people don't know how to change a tire. And he's met a girl. He's wanting to get married, but he came from a broken home, and he's actually scared to death because he wants the marriage that I have. He wants a marriage where it lasts. And as I look out over here, I see a bunch of people who have marriages that have lasted. I see the Stivers. I see my folks. I see Brother Holt. There's many more of you. You have marriages that last. And why do those marriages last? Because you're committed. And Stephen talks about his best friend, and his best friend is a guy on day shift. And Stephen was in his wedding like 18 months ago, and talks about it in the wedding, and it was awesome and great. I go to day shift. I'm with Steve's best friend. I work with him. He's an excellent young man. smart as a whip. And we're sitting down at lunch and having our casual conversation, and I'm doing what men do very well, don't listen too well. It's kind of off in my own little world, but something caught my ear across the table. I said, "Stephen, are you getting a divorce?" "Yeah." "Yeah." And he just, you know, all these reasons why they're getting a divorce. And all I could think is commitment, compassion. Where is that love and fire you had for that same girl, or she had for him 18 months ago? How quickly gone. What did you forget? Are you committed? One of my commanders that I have, Colonel Jake, love the dude. He's a warrior. Tough. He's from Oklahoma. Did I say he was tough? He was tough. All I came around tough guys. He was awesome. And you know, adultery in the military is a criminal offense. And they bring him in there for UCMJ. And I don't ever forget this word, you know, and everybody gets a trophy. Everybody's a bleeding heart snowflake. And they're giving their story on why this all happened and everything. And Colonel Jake, that he would always max them out. And he would say this. He says, "I'm supposed to trust you in combat. I'm supposed to trust you in combat. You stared before a bunch of people, before God and everybody, and swore your allegiance to this person, the person you're supposed to love with all your heart, and you weren't committed to them. You ain't going to be committed to me. You'll leave me out there. Max them out." And he'd give them the max punishment. People would be like, why? Because he believed in commitment, in being committed. You know, I talked to Stephen, ran to him. I was going out the door. He was coming in the door. And I knew he'd be visibly shaken by that. Here, his best friend going through all that. He's like, "Man, it just scares me. I don't want that." I said, "You know, hey, Stephen, you know," I said, "I've been married 32 years. First of all, you got to find a very patient wife." Who's very compassionate and very committed. And then I said, "But bottom line, you've got to have a relationship that's based on the Lord Jesus Christ." I said, "Because that's the only way it's going to work." I don't recommend too many books other than the Bible. There's two I do for people in relationships. The 5 love languages. They'll teach you how to love somebody. You might think, but you love people the way you like to be loved. That's not necessarily the way they like to be loved. You need to read that. You know, men, we're all about physical touch and, you know, words of adoration that, you know, lift you up. You know, our wife, acts of service. Man, you know, don't bring my wife a dozen roses. She'll give them away. She's done it before. And, but, you know, if I want to show my love for Kathy, do laundry. I'm a prince. If I want a new gun, if I want a new implement for my tractor, I just do laundry. Clean house. Fix supper. And she comes in and she feels like a princess. And I was like, "Yeah, I didn't have to." That's good. Yeah. I'll be like, "And there's this new Remington Model 7 I've been wanting to buy." "Sure, I don't care. You did the laundry." She's committed. She's committed to me. You know, 32 years in the military, she's committed. We figured it up one time, and out of the 32 years, I was gone 6. If you totaled up all the time just for deployments, I was gone 6 years. I missed like 6 years of my kid's life. Last year we were buying Christmas presents, and now our kids are that older age. I know it's sad. I love buying Tonka trucks. I give some to a kid down the street. They were like, his dad welded something on my tractor, and I looked over right next to the barn. He had a dirt pile, all kinds of rusty Tonka trucks. I was like, dude, I got something for you. You should have seen his face. I think his dad's face lit up more than mine when I brought out all these old Tonka trucks and gave them to his son. You know, he's like, yeah, we're going to have us some fun. But, you know, as the kids get older, you try to get those gifts for them, that memories. And Kathy, she goes, we were sitting there looking on the internet, shopping on Amazon, and she goes, oh, I want to get this for Logan. Logan's 30 years old. I said, what are you getting for Logan? She goes, look at this hardback cover of all the Winnie the Pooh stories. I was like, why are we getting my son, 30-year-old son, a Winnie the Pooh book? She goes, are you serious? I was like, yeah, why would we do that? Oh, that's right, you were an absentee father in the military. Winnie the Pooh was his favorite thing when he was a little kid. You know, he had the one-eyed teddy bear, Cuddles, that's up in our room. You know, he loved Winnie the Pooh. I read it to him every night. Ouch. Absentee. She was committed raising those kids. And then we have, you know, our relationships. You got to be compassionate. You got to have commitment. And then, right, it comes down to it. It's a choice. You're making a choice when you do those things. You know, you're choosing to love someone. You're choosing to commit to someone. And if you do all those and you choose, you're going to have a successful relationship. You know, what's the most important relationship? Let me tell you about somebody else. Somebody that has compassion. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Right. You talk about compassion. Compassion is being willing to give your life for someone. You know, I'm pretty sure, I'm actually positive, any of my family members, I'm trading out my life for theirs. No thought. To love somebody, to do that for somebody else, I don't know the situation. I would like to think I would be like my uncle. What does John tell us? No greater love hath this than a man lay down his life for his friends. That's compassion. That's what Jesus Christ did for each and every one of us. He loved us so much that he laid down his life for us. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That is commitment. Commitment. The God of the universe committed and loved you so much and wants a relationship with you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for his blood would cover your sins so that you could enjoy that relationship with him and be connected with God. Compassion, commitment. You got to make a choice. I'll share this with you. You know, Bible scholars, this book is amazing. I'm not in it enough. I need to be in it more. And you just, little tidbits that you picked up, you've read it 1,000 times and you never read before. My wife shared a devotional with me. I cannot believe how I've never heard this before in all the time that I've grown up in church. I'll share it with you. Because a long time ago when I was taking Bible school and they were talking about, and you talk about Jesus and you talk about his death on the cross, you talk about he rose again. You never leave Jesus on the cross because that's not where he's at. He is risen again. And I'll tell you what, if that doesn't get you excited, nothing will. John 20. Nothing in the Bible is in there by mistake. John chapter 20. And this was when Peter and John are going to the tomb. And Peter went forth, and that other disciple, John, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first into the sepulcher. And he stooped down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, and he went not in. Then came Simon Peter following, with Peter. Peter's just bold and just like he's a bull in a china shop. Then come a sign of Peter following him and went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes lie and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then they also went in, the other disciple, and the story goes on, and never like, okay, what's the big deal about the napkin? What's the big deal about the napkin? Whew! My wife told me that. I about had a shouting match. Okay, the master. When the master is eating a meal in Hebrew culture, and he's eating a meal, and we've all sat down at the table, and we eat a meal, and the servant's standing there, and he's eating a meal, and he's wiping his face and everything, and when he gets done, if he just tosses it down there, it's not folded or anything, he's done. He's not coming back to the table. You can go ahead and clean up the table, because the master's gone. But if the master folds the napkin and sets it on the table, he's coming back. Hey. Woo! Man, how did I not heard that? I probably slept through it. Is that not beautiful? Why is the napkin there? Because he is coming back. Man, I'm telling you, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you need to make today the day. Hey. You know, and I'm not going to tell you if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior that everything is going to be great from here and flowers and roses and everything's great. Everything in your life that's happening now is still going to happen. You're still going to deal with best friends dying. You're going to still deal with bills to pay. But I'll tell you what, when you've reached your limit, you can fall down on your knees and you said, God, I have messed up. I don't know what I'm doing. And you're going to feel that loving arm of Christ come around you. And he's going to show you that compassion. He's going to be committed to that relationship because he's not going to leave you. And you'll see it through. And then one day, he's coming back. And you talk about a reunion that's going to be. I'll tell you, my dad loves family reunions. Talks about it all the time. We need to have a family reunion. You know, family reunions are great. But the one he talks about more and more is he talks about going home. Hey. Yeah. It'll break my heart when my father passes away. But I'll tell you what, I'll just have to do a little bit of shouting because I know he'll be sitting down with his brother and he'll be sitting down with his mother and he'll be standing with his Savior. Yeah. Yeah. It'll be good times. Yeah. And I don't want you to miss out. So if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, make today the day.